You may be seated. So we've been walking through this series on the church, really the mission of the church, Acts, the book of Acts. And so, you know, when I do a message series, I usually have it planned out. In fact, I usually have it planned out 3 to 6 months in advance of kind of rough estimate of what we're going to be sharing with you, especially during series like these. And next week is the last week of this series. Pastor John will be sharing on that message. But sometimes as you prepare and get ready for something, what you planned out a few weeks ago changes. What I call it an audible. When, you know, in football, you go up to the line, the coach tells you a play, and you go up to the line, you look at things, and you're like, all right, we're going to call it what Peyton Manning said, Omaha. So this morning is an Omaha, and I'll tell you why I've changed it is because sometimes God lets me wrestle with some things. I was away last week in Nashville at a conference, and one of the talks that they gave, there was something that resonated with me. There was something that spoke to me. There was something that I'm wrestling with and wrestling through. And when God has you wrestling, it's good, at least for me, to share it with you, because I'm hoping if I'm wrestling with it, I might as well let you wrestle with it too, because why should I do it myself? It comes down to three words, and just you know this, that the words have power. You know, you look at Scripture. When God was creating, He didn't necessarily use a wand or a finger. He spoke. He said, "Let there be light." He used words. His words formed. In fact, you read later on in Hebrews, he says the word of God is living and active. The word, what was said, and not only is His word powerful, but I think. I know we've heard sticks and stones don't break our bones, and words may never hear me, but I think our words have tremendous power for the good or for the tearing down, for building up, or what, you know, our words have power. And so there was three words that I heard on I think it was Tuesday morning that just had power to me. And I'm going to read three scriptures to you, and I'll see if you can figure out what the word is, but this starts with Acts chapter 10, verse 36. So it says this: "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Over in Acts 2, verse 36, it says this: "Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah," or Lord and Christ, depending on your translation. All right, so I'm not sure if you're getting it yet. This one will hopefully clear it up to you. It's over in Philippians. Paul's writing to the Philippian church, and he's having, it's kind of around a song that they sang. And it talks about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. And he just steps down the ladder of greatness, and he takes on the form of servant, and then he eventually, in the song, says he was crucified. And then it says, "Therefore," or "that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I don't know if you've heard, if you grabbed it yet, what those three words are, but the words that have been powerful to me this week are the words, "He is Lord." He is Lord. This seems so basic, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes I preach, and I preach on a chapter, preach on a story, and then this morning I'm just sharing with you on three words. He is Lord. And I don't know if there is any three words that are more powerful for someone who is pursuing God than those three words. There's nothing so more beautiful than those three words, and there is nothing that wrecks us more as followers of Jesus Christ than those three words. He is Lord. We're going to do something, and I know the worship team already sang, but there's a song that was written, I don't know how many years ago. It's an old chorus, but I think this chorus speaks about this theology, this doctrine, this life-changing, these three life-changing words that I think will have power for us this morning. If you don't know it, it's pretty simple. If you do know it, I'm praying you'll sing it with me, because I need your help. And it goes something like this. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to sing it a couple more times. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This time we're going to kind of pray it a little bit to him. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you hear it in that song? He is Lord. And it sounds like a song we sing, but it's really at the basis of the church, at the basis of following him, is that phrase. There's a name that we use in Scripture. We talked about that. What a beautiful name it is. It's a name that we use in Scripture. My Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's used throughout Scripture. We use it sometimes in songs and prayers. And some of you may think that Lord Jesus Christ is first, middle, and last name. It's really not a full name. It's a description of him. It's a description of who Jesus is. Christ means anointed one. It's really pointing back to the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, saying, this is the one you've been waiting for. This is the one that was anointed. This is the one that was chosen to come, who's going to make everything right. He was the one that's going to bring Israel back to its fullness as a nation. He is the one who's going to become king, and he's going to be a prophet, and he's going to be a priest. He is the one that you've been waiting for. He's going to make everything right. And so when it says Christ, we're saying Jesus was the one that was predicted in the Old Testament who was going to come. And it's not going to be a politician. It's not going to be a new education. It's going to be a person who comes who changes everything. He was the Christ. Jesus actually means he saves, right? I mean, and I think we come to him, and a lot of times that's what we come to him as, is we want a savior. We want a rescuer. We want a redeemer, someone who's going to bring things back. In our prayer life, all right, when we're talking to him, the majority of the time that we come to pray, we come to him because we need a rescue in some way. God, I need you to show up in my work. God, I need you to show up in my finances. God, I need a rescue in this. I need a rescue in that. And he is a savior. And he does show up that way. And we love him as our savior. And yet, there's this other word in that name that sometimes we forget. We like him as savior. I'm not so much sure that we like him as Lord. We liked him to rescue us, but we're not necessarily ready to put him in charge of our life. See, the nation of Israel, when Jesus came, on the last week of his life, they have this parade for him, and Palm Sunday is what they call it. You know, and they have the branches waving, they have their carpets out there, their jackets out there, and here comes Jesus coming in, and they have this phrase, "Hosanna to the Son of David," right? Lord, save us. How is it? How is it possible that on one day they're saying, Lord, save us, and a week later they're saying, crucify him? How is it possible that they're saying, God, we need change, we need rescue at one moment, and at the next moment they're saying, go crucify him, kill him? Is it possible, and this is where I'm wrestling, this is where Tuesday morning it hit me, is it possible that what we wrestle with and what Israel wrestles with is his lordship? Let me go a little further. I love the fact that he is Lord of creation. Right? I love to walk outside sometimes when it's a really crisp, cloudless night and see the stars in the sky. And in my mind, I know that he is Lord of that. He brings the stars up and he calls them by name. He has them counted. He knows them intimately. And I love the fact that I can walk through nature and see his laws at work. The science of of animals and the way things work together. I love it that he's Lord of that. And I'll be honest with you. I can't wait till we get to the kingdom forever and he is Lord and everything is functioning as it should be. Right? I mean, there's part of me is like, I can't wait to get to heaven and see what perfection is supposed to be. And I love lordship in all those areas. And yet when it comes to like me, when it comes to coming before this my Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a wrestling match. There is something that just I'm striving that is very hard for me to place every area of my life underneath his lordship. King of my life. Ruler of my life. Let me walk through three of those things that maybe you wrestle with, that I wrestle with. Like this morning you're coming into church, and I don't know why you're here. Either someone dragged you here, or you came because it's a habit, or because, you know, you wanted to go to church this morning. But I'm wondering, in the midst of us coming in this morning, if we've really come before Jesus, said, I want you to be Lord of this moment. This next 23 minutes or however many seconds left I have in this space worshiping God, I'm wondering if in reality, if we have asked him to be Lord of these 23 minutes. You know what that means? God, do what you want to do in these 23 minutes. God, show up in whatever way you want to show up. I don't care if it's in the music. I don't care if it's in the message. God, I just want you to show up in this moment. Speak to me. Let me be underneath your leadership. Do what you want. I'm not talking about corporately. I'm not talking about all of us together. I'm talking about individually, us coming before my King and saying, God, I want you to be Lord of this, because this is what we do. We come in wanting him to be our rescuer. And I'll affirm that he is a rescuer. He is a savior. He is a repairer. He is a redeemer. And we come in and we're pleading with God, asking God, God, do something in my marriage, do something in my work, do something in my finances, do something in my kids, do something. And we're asking God to be a worker in those areas. But I'm wondering if there's this, when we're coming in, if we're just like, stop striving, asking for him to save and just say, God, I want you to be Lord of this moment. You know, not just give him the political sides of yourself. Like, we can submit certain things. God, I'm here. I've submitted that far. God, I've been a good person. I've submitted that far. But last night, we had this ugly Christmas sweater competition, sort of. And so we had hors d'oeuvres at our house. And so my wife spends all day cleaning the political sides of the house. And we make things look really nice. The Christmas tree's up with all the decorations. You know, when you have people over, you clean the good side where people are going to be. But I'm going to tell you, the people that came last night, they're not getting into certain spots of the house. Those doors are shut. Those areas are off limits. They have warning tapes, you know, like, do not enter. Because there's certain spots that just aren't where we want people to be. I'm wondering this morning, if we're doing the same thing with Jesus Christ. Like, we come in, we think we're spiritual because we're here. We think we're submitted because we're here. But is it possible that there's a closet out back that Jesus wants to get into, and you're like, that's one thing you're not getting into, Jesus. I'm submitted because I'm here, but I'm not going to let you into this closet because I don't want you to make a mess. I don't want to see it. You know, sometimes we close the door not because we don't want you to see it, because we don't want to see it either. We want to forget about it. And I'm just wondering, is he Lord of this moment? When we come in here, Lord, have your way. Speak the way you want to speak. You know, we're Tuesday morning, I'm in this conference, I'm like, God, I don't know if I've asked you to be Lord here. I know what I want you to do. I know what you want. I want you to teach me. I know what I want to experience. But does that even matter if you have something more important? You know, let's make him Lord of the moment. But there's another one too. Can we make him Lord of the outcomes? Here's what I mean, is we all have a plan for our life. We all, you know, because we're praying for rescue, we all have a plan for what we want it to show up as. All right, God, this is how I want this to work out. Please make it that way. God, this is my plan for this. This is my plan for my finances. This is my plan for my work. God, I want you to bless me and make it that way. I'm wondering, if we're doing it that way, is he really Lord? Because all he's really asking of us is to be faithful, to be Lord of the moment, and let him be Lord of the outcomes. Maybe his lordship means that the outcomes are different than our outcomes. Let me paint the picture for you. I think even Jesus wrestled with this. You know, the night he was going to be arrested, he goes to the garden, and he's with his disciples. His disciples are falling asleep, and he's praying, and he's praying fervently. Like, it says that he's praying drops of blood. Like, he's, like, pleading with his Father. And you know what he prays? Take this cup from me. Can we just do a different outcome? Can we do this differently, Father? There's got to be another way around. Is there some way that we can have a different outcome? And at the end of the prayer, what's really cool is even though he's wrestling with the outcomes, he's like, I don't want to die. I don't want to be crucified. I don't want to be forsaken. He says, not my will, but yours be done. You know what he's saying is, I want your leadership. I want your lordship, even of the outcomes. Will you still follow him? Will you still love him? Even if he doesn't give you what you want, even if he takes away what you wanted, can he be Lord of whatever happens? Isn't that what lordship means? Isn't that what king means? That he can do whatever he wants. And if he wants you to go bankrupt, can we say you are Lord? If he wants you to lose your job, can you say you are still Lord? If he says, I want you to sell your house and I want you to move to some other nation, can you still say he is Lord? Can you say in the good times and the bad times, he is Lord? Because if, I know we wrestle with it, but if we can't say he is Lord of the outcomes, I'm not really sure he's Lord of our lives. Let me give you the question that kind of wrecked me the most. If I can, I want to give it to you the way they said it. This is the third one that I think hopefully challenges you like it challenges me. This is the question. Would you be willing to risk what you have for what he wants? Now think about that for a second. Are you willing to risk what you have for what he wants? Let me play it out for you. Are you willing to go down to zero with everything that you have in your hands in order to receive his good, pleasing, and perfect will? Are you willing to give up whatever it takes? Are you willing to give him anything that he wants? Are you willing to give up success? And let me paint it to how I was wrestling with this question. Would you be willing to risk what you have for what? Would I be willing? Because, you know, 12 years of ministry here at the church, all right, 12 years, and God has done some incredible things. This question meant to me, am I willing to lay down this for whatever he wants? Am I willing to lay down whatever ministry that we've done? Am I willing to lay down failure as a church in people's eyes? Am I willing to go down to zero number-wise in order to get what he wants? Am I willing to lay down everything in order to get to what he wants? I'm just saying, I can't have he can't be Lord unless I can say, God, you can have it all. Do you see how this question kind of wrecks us? How it kind of like, because to be honest with you, we all have things in our closets that we're hanging on to. We're grasping. There are things that are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There are some good things in the closet that we're hanging on to. There are things that we're passionate about that we're hanging on to. And I'm wondering, can we lay that all down and say, God, what's the have thine own way? Do what you want. There's a prayer that Jesus teaches the disciples, and maybe you know this one, the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to say it with me, because I want you to hear the lordship of Jesus Christ in this prayer. It goes, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. This is the part I love. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do you hear it in that prayer? This is the prayer he's teaching. It's like, hey, if you're going to pray something, this is the one I want. It's mentioned two or three times in the Gospels. Give us this day our, God, all we need is what I need today. Just provide today. Your kingdom come. Not just in our world, but in our hearts. God, reign in me. Lead me. Let me lay aside all the other stuff. I just want you to be Lord. And I want you to receive all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And I want your power on display. I want it to be about you. I want to lay all that I have, all the little that I have. And the funny thing is, all that I have is from him anyway. And I want to lay it down before him. Here's the wrestling match. Even as a pastor, I've been wrestling with God. What areas of my life are you not Lord of? Because he doesn't want to be just the Messiah, even though he is. He doesn't want to be just Jesus Christ, the Savior, even though he is. I believe in every one of our lives, he wants to be my personal Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he desires. And the interesting thing is that his will is good, pleasing, and perfect. That he is loving, he is all-knowing, his will is best. What does Jeremiah say? My plans are higher than your plans, my ways are better than your ways. Like, we have this kind of like knowledge of where he wants to take us is really, really good. But we have this control action where we don't want to give it up. I think this is the honest truth. I think it's because we know in the back of our heart that there'll be some things he'll have to pry out of our hands, that he'll have to empty before we get to the really good will. There'll be some tough times. How we're going to end this is I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we're going to pray the same song we started with. As an act of hopefully submission, an act of God, I want you to be Lord of my life. It's going to be a prayer. And we're going to change the words rather than he is Lord. We're going to say you are Lord. So let's pray this together. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are risen from the dead. And you are Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a symbolic act, and again, I know some of you don't feel comfortable with this, but you know what lordship physically looks like is this open hand. Hands before him. It's like, I'm giving you all that I have. If you feel comfortable as we sing this and pray this again, go ahead and lift your hands up, and let's just worship him with that again. I'm going to let Melissa lead this one. No? All right. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are risen from the dead, and you are Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to do it one more time. This time, there's probably an area in your life that you know is not underneath his lordship. There's some place. It may be your finances. It may be your frustration at your job. It may be, maybe it's your marriage. You're fighting for an outcome. Maybe it's wanting to be married. And I want you to, we're going to sing it again. We're going to place that very thing, whatever that thing is that you're lording over rather than him. And I just want you to place it before him. Say, you are, really, you're a Lord of this. You're Lord of what, this thing that I'm hanging on to. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are risen from the dead, and you are Lord. shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I know this is a wrestling match for me of surrendering it all to you. There are places in my life that I'm hanging on to. And so I pray that you will help me submit them to you. I pray for our church that at the foundation of what we're building here is your lordship. Not a slavery, but a lordship of freedom, of being able to live the way you designed us to live. So God, we submit those areas that we're wrestling with, the things that we're crying over at night or we're angry about. We want to place them in your hands and allow you to carry them because you are good, you are all-knowing, your ways are perfect, and we trust you that you can handle it, that we can find rest in you in the midst of it. So may you be Lord of this place. In Jesus' name, amen.